Again, our scripture will be taken from Psalms 25, 1 through 7, and our subject matter is memories. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my voice. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy long kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Isn't it something today when people need something, when things aren't looking good for them, they don't want God to remember the wrong. They remind God of what is right. They remind God of what his word says and what they have done for him. But when things are good, when everything is going their way, they forget who God is. They don't remember what God has done or what they have committed unto him. If you recall in Psalms 107, it talks about how Israel cried unto the Lord over and over again. The Lord delivers them over and over again. And they repeat wrong over and over again. Does that sound familiar? The mind is equipped with two types of memories, short-term and long-term. Short-term is having the capability to hold a small amount of information. For example, if you are able to remember a number or name that was just given to you, that is in your short-term. When words are first presented, they enter short-term memory. But due to its limited space, as new words enter, older ones are pushed out. For example, I remember the first name given to me, but after the third and the fourth name, I no longer remember the first and the second. Long-term is the memory that deals with storage and retrieves it when needed. Each time a word in short-term memory is rehearsed, it is strengthened in a long-term memory. In our memories, when we were born, we did not know what our name was. But being called continuously by that name, we began to respond. It was rehearsed, and we registered it into our long-term memory, and that is who we became. We have been given everything we need. As we grew, we were taught how to walk. A baby rehearses over and over until they get their balance and ability. After walking comes running. After learning how to talk, we learn to read. Our minds are like sponges. They are capable and they absorb and remember everything presented to them. They are filled with knowledge. It becomes easy to do things. This is why we should take heed to the scripture where it says, "Train up a child in the way it should go, and in the end they will not depart." The longer a word stays in short term, it becomes strong and it goes into long term. Did you know when you learn to ride a bike, it stays with you when you ride it over and over again? If you stop riding and come back to it 25 years later, you still can ride. Maybe not as good, but the memory is still there. Same thing with swimming. If you learned how to swim, and you quit swimming and somebody threw you in the water, believe me, you would remember. We need to rehearse the Word of God so it will move from what is short-term to what is long-term. Mm-hmm. So when circumstances arise, we can overcome them. When we need a word, we will be able to bring it up. Mm-hmm. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. Mm-hmm. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that's within you. Don't let the word lie dormant in you. Dormant is to be inactive, suspended growth. Don't let your growth get suspended, which means to stop. Don't be a midget in Christ. Become a giant. We need to stir his words up. Sometimes our memory is interrupted by things, and some are caused by self-inflicted things. Some people can mess their minds up by using drugs. They are self-inflicted and can cause problems with your memory later on in life. Some people have gotten head injuries from an accident or a blood clot that caused a brain aneurysm. This too can affect your memory when recovering. And then there are people who come down with Alzheimer or dementia. This affects the memory without warning. Mm-hmm. One thing we don't want to forget is who we are in Christ. Amen. What we have going on for us is this. When we read the word, it goes into short-term memory. We must continue to read it over and over again. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he becomes our long-term. In John 14:17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you drop down to verse 26, Jesus went on to say, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Mm-hmm. The Word and the Spirit of God is what we need. The Word and the Spirit of God is our short and long-term memory that we need to contract. The cares of this world will not keep us. The deceitfulness of riches will not lead us. The pleasures of life will not bring any life to us. We need the cure that keeps us pure.
Amen.
Psalm says the word is very pure. Mm-hmm. Proverbs says every word of God is pure. Mm-hmm. The world's purpose is to disconnect us from our relationship with Christ. We must remember who he is and who we are in him. We are still the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In him, we still live and move and have our being. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet,
yes,
and a light unto my path. Now, let's take a look at what Israel was told to remember in their time. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. That's Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Can you remember when you were made free? Can you remember when God saved you? Can you remember when you asked him to come into your life? If your answer is no, if you don't remember when, in your long term, you remember he did.
Amen.
You know he saved you, and you are his child. It is important to remember you are and you have. It is important to have these things in your long term memory. Otherwise, you might go around doubting your salvation. Mm-hmm. He went on to say in verse 8 and 9, "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. Amen. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. These things the Lord did for Israel, and they were able to tell their children." When you tell your children what God has done for you, it is not just a memory for them, but it is a reminder for you. We also need to make sure we put the right things in storage. Negative things don't need to be in your treasure. Amen. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations is found right after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse 1. First, let me tell you a little about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was beaten and put in stocks while he was prophesying the coming destruction. A number of other prophets were prophesying peace. Jeremiah expressed the difficulty of speaking God's word. He felt it caused him regrets, and he became a laughing stock and the target of mockery. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was called at a very young age. In verse 1 it says, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He had built against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old." Jeremiah was in a pity party, mm-hmm. depressed, down in the dumps. Woe is me. Jeremiah was in prison. He was feeling forsaken, forgotten, disregarded. Have any of you felt this way before? Have these thoughts ever come up on any of you? Maybe this is the way you feel now because you are confined and can't go anywhere. If you dwell on these things like this for a long time, it will get into your long-term memory. Mm-hmm. It will affect you physically, spiritually, and mentally. You will become depressed, oppressed, and distressed. You need to speak to your soul. Mm-hmm. Now, soul, magnify the Lord. Yeah, Jeremiah went on to say this in verse 17 and 18. "And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity." Saints, God has not removed you from peace.
Amen.
He has not forgotten you, and the prosperity is your health. Mm-hmm. Verse 18 said, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." And you think you are discouraged. Don't let your strength and hope perish. God has not forsaken or forgotten you. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you this. Jeremiah didn't stay in that state of mind. And I speak this word unto you today. You will not stay in this state of mind either. Listen to how he begins to turn things around in his prayer so that you may turn things around in your life today. Look at verse 20. "My soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope." Anybody hearing this?
Amen.
"It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. We are not consumed. We are still here because of the mercies of God. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning.
Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Get out of that pity party, because ain't nobody else coming to it anyway. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him.
Yeah.
It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Do you have hope today?
Amen.
Do you feel encouraged today? Mm-hmm. Is God your refuge? Does your Redeemer live? Mm. Let's look at one more example of what happened to a king. This is found in Daniel's chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 27. But let me set the stage. The king, King Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream which made him afraid. He called his magicians, astrologers, and soothsayers. But they could not interpret the dream. Did you know that back then, dreams meant something?
Mm-hmm.
Dreams had a meaning. Dreams were a way that God could speak to us of no other way. But today, our minds are so bombarded with so many different things that God cannot communicate in such manner. But they could not interpret the dream. Daniel was called to give the king understanding of the dream. And this is what Daniel began to say in verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel was telling the king, stop provoking God to anger by your sins, so he may reduce the severity of your punishment. You are not treating the people right. Verse 28 says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. While the proud word was in the king's mouth, the powerful word came from God. His understanding and his memory were gone. In verse 29, it says, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar was given a year before judgment came down. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? The heart of the king was inflated with pride. And he attributed everything to himself and acknowledged God in nothing. In our success, we must be careful so we don't get puffed up in ourselves and take the credit as if we've done something. Pride comes before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe America is taking a fall because of their pride. Look at verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee.
Mm.
This dream shows Nebuchadnezzar getting a warning and the kingdom was taken. By the mouth of Daniel, he had a chance to repent,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't. So the kingdom was taken from him. The kingdom of God is in us, and we need to remain in the word so the kingdom can remain in us. Jesus has left us mercy, and the Holy Spirit brings these things to our remembrance so we, if anything, can repent if something comes upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will.
Amen.
Verse 33 says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Mm. And we think we look rough today. Can you imagine being that far off, so far out that you forsake dwelling with men and eating grass as the cattle, hair being like eagle's feathers, nails like bird claws? You don't want God to separate himself from you.
Amen.
And we do not need to separate ourselves from God that these things come up on us. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Mm-hmm. What the king ate don't sound like a meal that I want to eat. But think about it. When you are in the world, listening to the foolishness of the world, receiving the junk of the world, your state of mind is no different than the state of mind that the king had. You're eating grass just like he is. It is doing you no good. Neither one of you are doing any good at that point. Look at verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. That is the good thing about God. Regardless of how far out you think you are, God has a lifeline to pull you back in.
Amen.
When we lift our eyes and turn from wherever we are, God is there to take us. We will be and we are blessed. What has been interrupted will be restored. What was lost can be found. Mm-hmm. Let us study to show ourselves approved unto God. The more we study, the stronger we get. And what we study is stored in long-term memory of God. We have been given a name that's above every name. A name bigger than every disease and affliction. We have been given a Savior who has salvaged our souls. What God did for Daniel in the den, he can do for us. What he did for the Hebrew boys, he can do. It can be done for us. If he can restore the kingdom to the king, whatever is lost in us, he can restore as well. Let us do like Mary and choose that good part. Just like Israel began to share with their children what God did for them, parents, let's begin to share with ours. It is not the grandparents' job or responsibility. And Jesus, as Jesus left this with his disciples, I will leave it with you. Matthew 28 and 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. My time is up. And I thank you for yours.